This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I have one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up in about 18 minutes from now, I will dissect the ESPN.com list of the top 150 college football teams of all time in honor of 150 years of the game, because I got some problems. I got a lot of problems. Okay? Okay. That's coming up this hour on the show. But let's begin with Odell Beckham. 1 week, one loss, concerns in Cleveland in a blowout loss that the Browns can't quite handle the hype, that the Browns were overrated, that the Browns aren't ready for that next step, that the Browns are frauds, that the Browns are who we thought they were, as Delanie Walker said after the Titans' dominant victory on Sunday. All of this attention, all of this excitement in Cleveland, all of these Super Bowl bets, all of this talk about winning the division for the first time in 30 years, and they come out and they get housed, and they play really poorly in doing so. Tons of penalties, mistakes, players losing their cool, defense getting shredded, Baker trying to do too much, throwing a bunch of picks. It was just a bad day all around. And so now it's really time for the Browns to lock in, focus, and take Monday night as a really important game. They're going to be playing another desperate 0-1 team, the New York Jets, and they're playing them on the road at MetLife Stadium. This should be a week where the Browns are woken up, that Freddie Kitchens gets into their kitchen and tells the Browns, hey, wake up. You guys stunk. We all stunk. We were embarrassed. We were humiliated. If we've got designs on playing in January or even playing important, meaningful games in December, Monday night is crucial. If the Browns begin 0-2 and they haven't even played the Steelers or the Ravens yet in their division, what's their season going to look like? If they begin 0-2 with a home loss against the Titans and a road loss against the Jets, what is their season really going to look like? It's going to be 8-8 at best. If they go 8-6 the rest of the way after 0-2, it'll be a huge, rousing success. So Monday night, despite it only being week two, is really important. And guess what? Odell Beckham's still going to wear his watch.
Oh, okay.
Odell Beckham wore a signature watch during the game on Sunday. It retails for about $200,000, apparently. The league says you can't wear that. You can't wear hard objects. You can't wear watches. So don't wear it during the game. And Odell is saying, no, I'm still going to wear it. No, I'm going to wear it. I'll pay the fine. I'll wear it again. Odell saying, if anybody else would have worn the watch, if it was a $20 watch, it wouldn't be a problem. That's just my life. If it ain't this, it's something else. If it wasn't the watch, it would have been the way I tied my shoes. End of quote. Well, if Odell believes that, I got a bridge to sell him. Odell, actually, you would not be fined by the league if you tied your shoes a certain way, because there is no illegal way to tie your shoes, you dummy. It's not prohibited to tie your shoes a certain way. It is prohibited to wear a watch. In the history of the NFL, there has never been a reason to wear a watch during the game. Never. We played 100 years of football, Odell. I don't know if you noticed. The NFL likes to remind us of this. 100 years of football. There's been watches, I don't know, for 1,000 years. How long have watches been around? 500 years? We've had watches for a really long time, right?
You're asking me? I have no idea how long we've had watches.
Probably not 1,000 years.
Probably when Babe Ruth came around.
Well, that's like 100 years. I think watches are older than that. My guess is we had watches in the early 1800s. That's my guess. So we're talking about 250 years, let's say, of watches, or 200 years of watches. Okay, since the dawn of the NFL, nobody's ever needed to wear a watch. And this included the guys that actually didn't have a scoreboard with a clock. You know, they started in 1920. My guess is in Akron and Green Bay and Canton, there is no clock on the scoreboard. They still didn't need watches. Because, you know, you're just playing a football game. You don't need to know what time it is, you dummy. Odell wants to wear a $200,000 watch during the football game. And what reason? For what reason? Oh, of course, to draw attention to a $200,000 watch that he is clearly getting some type of kickback for. Brand ambassador, free watch. He's going to sell these watches. There's going to be an Odell signature watch. For some reason, he needs to do this. 1868, is that right? Watches came around in 1868.
1868.
I do not remember Old Hoss Rayburn wanting to wear a watch. I don't remember the Cincinnati Red Stockings of 1878 needing to wear watches. And at that time, it was really new and really important because there was no other clocks around the stadium. This is now a time and place in the NFL and professional sports where there's a clock everywhere. What exactly does Odell need the watch for? He can come over to the sideline and ask all of his coaching staff on their Microsoft tablets what the time is. There is a time literally on the scoreboard, not just of the game, but real time. They're showing it in an electronic hypercolor 3D ribbon board. What does Odell need a watch for on the football field? Except for attention, because he needs to have his swag, his style. He needs to have all that. I mean, and Odell says, if anybody else would have worn the watch, no, if anybody else would have worn the watch, they would have been fined as well. You can't wear the watch. Nobody's ever needed to wear a watch. Why do you need to be the one that wears the watch? And then why do you need to be the one that says, I'm still going to wear the watch? It should be all about the Jets, all about the Jets, all about winning this football game. But of course, Odell has to become the victim. It is week two he's the victim. Week two. Merez, they played four quarters of football. Odell Beckham told us he's a different guy. It's a fresh start. He's just so glad nobody's going to judge him for his past grievances and his past stuff. And here he is in week two, week one already making a problem. There's already an issue in week one. And now week two, defiantly saying, I'm going to do it again.
This is, I feel, when I see the Cleveland Brown fans that's about to watch, I'm looking at Twitter feeds that remind me of me. It's always something defending Odell Beckham Jr., and you're always pulling an excuse. Well, if he cares about winning, what does it matter that he's wearing a watch? This is all connected. It's all about, look at me, there's a lot of tension on the team, but I need to stand out because it needs to be about me, me, me. Just like leading into the game, why did Odell Beckham need to tell anybody suddenly his hip hurt and this was like a Ferrari that's running on the wrong kind of gas? Where did that come from? Then all of a sudden we forgot about the injury. Nobody was talking about it, so we need to make sure we need to wear a watch. Then when the watch gets attention, he needs to proceed to defend the watch and tell everybody how he's going to keep wearing the watch. The whole thing just never ends. It's an ugly, vicious cycle. And oh, by the way, I produce another show, as everybody knows, locally on WFAN. Jamal Adams, who went to LSU, knows Odell Beckham, said that Odell had texted him this week about a fashion off and what they're going to show up to Monday Night Football wearing. He's already focused again on what he's going to wear when he enters the stadium. Can we focus on football and try to win a few games? Maybe this is why these guys had one winning season his whole career, because somehow every team he's on stinks, and every focus he has is not about the playbook, it's about what's going on around him.
Isn't it amazing that this is what he's going to be defined about? No, I'm going to wear the watch. There has never been another player that needed to wear a watch in the NFL ever during a football game. Nobody. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Julio Jones, even crazy Antonio Brown. These are the greatest players of the NFL. They don't need to wear a watch. Odell Beckham decides, I've got to wear a watch. I've got to be the one that wears the watch. This is an important watch to me. It's an important accessory. I know nobody else wears a watch, but I'm going to wear the watch. And then you get fined because it's against the rules, because nobody wears watches. And he goes, if it was anybody else, I'm going to still wear the watch. If it was anybody else, they wouldn't have fined him. It is such a bizarre behavior to make this yet another example of how everybody's out to get him. It was in the rule book before he did it. He was fined because it's in the rule book, and then says, oh, it's because it's Odell. It's because it's me. Isn't that a crazy way to interpret this situation? It was literally in the rule book before he was even in the league, and he's making it about him. If it was anybody else, they would be allowed to do it, but it's because it's me. Odell, there's been 100 years of football. 96 of them before you. 94 of them before you. The rule's been the rule. And you say, oh, if it was anybody else, they would let him wear a watch. No, that's the rule. He's not Antonio Brown, but Odell Beckham and his incessant belief that he's the victim of everything and that he's treated with a double standard and that it's never his fault, he's loony. He's really loony. Really, this is like loony stuff. Like, why would you fight over this? Let me ask, why would you need to fight over the watch? Wear the watch up until game time, right? You could definitely wear the watch entering the stadium. You could probably wear the watch in walkthroughs. My guess is they wouldn't even bother with that. But you just can't wear the watch on the field, getting ready for the game, and then during the game.
Fighting for the watch is just as much a part of him as wearing the watch. It's something to the constant need to be stroked and have attention on him, where it's not necessarily even like a real trouble. It's just stupidity. But he's got to prove a point that everybody's out to get Odell by making up things that people are out to get Odell by. It's so stupid. The whole thing is endless. And oh, by the way,
endless. It is endless. It'll never not happen.
Endless.
It'll never stop.
Endless. It's like breadsticks at Olive Garden. It doesn't stop. And also, on that note, has anybody once considered, what if he gets hit the wrong way or something like this, and what if this watch happens to cut his wristband, his handbag that he needs? Has anybody thought that there's even the slightest opportunity that a bulky little watch like that, that's a piece of metal, could somehow become some kind of problem in a violent sport if hit the wrong way?
Well, that's why it's not allowed. That is the specific reason why it's not allowed. The idea that you would have an electronic gadget or a mechanical gadget on your body in a collision sport is crazy. Like, no professional athlete ever needs to wear a watch during a game. No basketball player, no baseball player, no hockey player, no football player. He feels the need that he has to wear this watch.
What's the next? Is he going to strap an iPad to his chest?
And the whole reason is that if this busts, if this is metal or hard plastic or whatever, it can cut him. It can injure an opponent. There's a million different reasons why you would not want a watch on a player in a collision sport. A million different reasons. It'll never end. It's week two. It is week two, and he's still fighting with the league. An aggrieved party. It'll never end. By the way, I just want to tell you, your impassioned criticism of Odell Beckham came with a whole scoop of cake icing on your chin.
Well, that would have helped. When did that happen? Just now or earlier when you were talking to me?
How did that happen? I don't know. You were mauling an entire loaf of cake during the commercial break, and I guess some got on your chin.
Nobody tips me off? You let me go on Watch DA with the cream all over my face?
I can't see your chin above that computer, so I'm just looking at Watch DA now, and I noticed that that entire time you had big thing of icing on
Cap
your face.
Cap can't send me a text, says you're on camera, wipe the cream off, you doofus. You let me speak for 15 minutes on Odell Beckham with cream all over my face?
Cap and
foxholes. Sam sitting right next to me can't tell me I got cream on my chin.
Cap and I may have colluded to make sure the cream stayed on your chin.
Come on.
Chubbo.
Wife's going to be pissed now.
855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all. Geico.com. Josh is in Detroit listening on 1270 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, DA. How's it been? Haven't heard from you in a while. I thought I'd give you my first call to the show.
Now, Josh,
and I like
thank you. But when you say I haven't heard from you in a while, I'm here every single day doing this show. I haven't heard from you in a while.
You know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right.
Jim Rome. Anyway, DA,
are you calling me Jim Rome? Jim Rome
No, when you were on the Jim Rome show, I haven't heard from you in a while since your Smackoff call, which was good.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
It was good. Anyway, what's next? MMA guy is going to start wearing timepieces on their wrist. I mean, thank God the NFL went in there and said, hey, this is kind of unsafe. If I was on defense and I tackled Odell Beckham, I mean, a piece of that goes right in my eye. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's why they have the press conference. You see Cam Newton, what he dresses like, and his fashion statement. Just save this stuff for the press conference. You think Jerry Rice, Willie Gaunt, and all these great receivers, Stephon Page, you think they were going to do all this stuff? They just played football, D.A. These guys need to stop and just play the game. And, D.A., I want to hear you more. I loved your Smackoff call, and I appreciate it. I just got to give you a ratings boost when I call the show since I'm the greatest Jim Rome show caller ever. And
thank you, Josh.
I appreciate your time.
Okay, man. Appreciate the phone call, and thanks for the kind words. I think the clones might now rip you apart limb from limb by calling yourself the greatest Jim Rome caller of all time, but that's for your fight, not mine. I love the fact that Josh in Arizona cited Willie Gaunt and Stephon Page as some of the greatest wide receivers of all time. You know, Jerry Rice, Stephon Page, Willie Gaunt. There's a few wide receivers I would consider on the list slightly ahead of Stephon Page and Willie Gaunt. But I understand your point. Look, it's Odell being Odell, and it is so ridiculous, and it is such a distraction, and it is always about something other than football with Odell Beckham, and it just doesn't change, and it's unfortunate because he's such an unbelievable talent, but there's this need for Odell to always be the victim, and there's a little Antonio Brown in this where Antonio Brown's always the victim, and there's always somebody out to get these guys, the paranoia of being the victim, the martyrs. It's ridiculous. They don't want you to wear a watch. They've never wanted anybody to wear a watch. You don't get to be special. Sorry, Odell. When we come back here on the DA show, ESPN.com has listed the top 150 college football programs of all time, or top 150 teams of all time, and I got a bone to pick. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
I like Darwin's Hook. You know what? Listen to a tape. Listen to get an idea of what our Trash Tuesday is. Give me something a little more juice. Everyone hates the pace of play, but give me something.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
25 minutes past the hour. DA here on CBS Sports Radio, and I'm with you on Sunday. Sunday morning football comes your way 10 until noon Eastern time. Right here on CBS Sports Radio and all of the same places you get the DA show. We break down college football from Saturday and preview an NFL Sunday. It's Sunday morning football coming your way this week for week number 2 of the NFL season right here on CBS Sports Radio beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Phil in Dallas tweets, Willie Gaunt was really a trailblazer in the NFL with players with tuberculosis. Phil tweets, Willie Gaunt had trouble maintaining his playing weight. Rob the 321 tweets, Mraz has frosting on his chin. Which one?
Puffiness with sodium.
He had a big old thing of cake frosting right in his chin the entire segment.
Making my way to lose 100.
Where are you at with that?
Oh, I haven't gotten on the scale in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I just wanted to balance everything out here.
Okay, got it. So ESPN.com apparently had 150 college football analysts, experts, and panelists vote on the top college football teams of all time, okay? The top 150 football teams of all time. ESPN.com, a panel of 150 media members, athletic administrators, and former players and coaches selected these teams. Top 150 teams of all time. And immediately I know the greatest college football team of all time. Immediately. I know it because I watched it. I saw it. In fact, my guess is everybody listening right now, or at least most people, would have seen it because it was only less than 20 years ago. So it happened in most of your lifetimes. And yet here I am scanning this list, wondering where the hell this team is. The top college football team ever, according to ESPN.com's list, the 1971 Cornhuskers. Number two, the 04 USC Trojans. Number three, the 1972 USC Trojans. Number four, the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers. Also, number five, last year's Clemson Tigers. Number six, the 05 Texas Longhorns. All of these are the wrong answer. All of them. The right answer doesn't happen until number seven. The greatest college football team of all time is, and this is inarguable, the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. And that's the end of the discussion. And anybody that argues otherwise has a bias against Miami or a bias for some other program, team, or era. There is no way you can even make an argument that the Hurricanes are not a top three team of all time. No way. There is no way you could leave them out of the top five. No way. And the idea that they're number seven, is an absolute farce. It's a joke, and it's humiliating for that list because it's wrong. I'm just going to go down some of the stats that you need to know about the greatest college football team of all time, okay? Let's just go down the list of how badly they destroyed everybody over the course of this season. And this is modern college football, not like 1948 college football. They outscored opponents by nearly 400 points, 512 to 117. They had an average winning margin in modern football of 33 points per game. They beat their opponents by an average of 33 points per game. They finished the season with four consecutive top 14 opponents, okay? So the final four opponents were all in the top 15. They outscored them 187 to 45. In the national championship game against Nebraska, they led 34-0 at the half. At the half! They destroyed everybody. Let's continue. Not only did they dismantle everybody in their path, but the talent on this roster will never be replicated. You'd have to cheat. You'd have to pay everybody, every five-star recruit of the nation, to be on your roster. 19 of the 22 starters on this team were drafted in the NFL. Think about this. 19 of the 22 starters were drafted. 75% of the league, three-quarters of the NFL, drafted a player from the 0-1 Canes. 75% of the league had a member of the 0-1 Canes on them. They had not 5, not 10, not 15, 17 first-round draft picks. This roster had 17 first-rounders on it. They had 13 Pro Bowlers on this team. The 2001 Miami Hurricane squad was a Pro Bowl team. It was an NFL Pro Bowl team. Their backfield, their running backs, okay? Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Najee Davenport. All played in the NFL, and Jared Payton, the son of Walter Payton. Their backfield, the Miami Hurricanes running backs from 2001 combined for 34,000 yards in the NFL. Think about this. Arguably the greatest safety ever is Ed Reed. He is on this football team. Ed Reed. His backup, Sean Taylor. Ed Reed's backup, Ed Reed's a football Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Famer. His backup was probably another Pro Football Hall of Famer. This team had multiple NFL Hall of Famers on it because Ed Reed was on it and Frank Gore was on it. You might have three NFL Hall of Famers on one roster because Vince Wilfork was on it. Andre Johnson was on this team. This was a squad whose tight ends were Jeremy Shockey and Kellen Winslow Jr. Their backups, McGahee, Wilfork, Sean Taylor, Kellen Winslow, Antrell Roll, Frank Gore, were backups on this team. This roster is the craziest roster that has ever been assembled in NFL history for a college football team, certainly in college football history, and they won by an average of 33 points per game and dismantled their opponent in the championship game and led by 34 points, 34-0 at half. And you're going to convince me that there are six other better college football teams ever? It's stupid. And I'm sorry, the list is bunk if you don't have the Miami Hurricanes in the top three. They have to be number one, but there's no way they can't be a top three. And if they're not a top five team, throw out the list. The list is stupid. The list is completely error-filled if a team that won by 33 points destroyed everybody and had probably three NFL Hall of Famers on it and 13 Pro Bowlers. The 0-1 Hurricanes were an NFL Pro Bowl team. And it wasn't like, oh, they didn't really pay dividends in college. You know, this was just a really well-talented team. No, they destroyed everybody in college. If you are telling me that's not a top five team in college football history, your list is stupid. Like, you look at this roster and you're going, how is that even possible? How can the 0-1 Hurricanes have possibly had all of these guys on their team? Like, the worst player on the team was their quarterback. Ken Dorsey was probably the worst player on their team. And even he played in the NFL. Their linebackers, Jonathan Vilma, DJ Williams, two longtime starters in the NFL. Their starting secondary, Philip Buchanan, Mike Rumpf, Ed Reed, all starters in the NFL. their running backs, Portis, McGahee, Najee Davenport, Roscoe Parrish couldn't get on the field. Frank Gore couldn't get on the field. Frank Gore's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. Can't get on the field. His college team. But that's not a top five team all time in college football history. Shame on you. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus we've got your epic fail. Oh, you Team USA, letting us all down. A country full of croissants beat us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
Google. Yahoo. Facebook.
Twitter. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
45 minutes past the hour. So much fun with audio. So much fun with video as well. You should really watch the show at watchda.com because the magic of the wizard of WatchDA is Andrew Kaplan pulling levers, pushing buttons, and capturing some of the moments that makes this show special. Like Mraz dancing in a Hawaiian shirt on Friday, swinging to the beat. Like Mraz with a face full of cake icing, giving hard sports takes. And you can also watch all these great moments, not only live, but also on our video feeds, which we clip the best of and then put on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. All of them.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
It is time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Matt tweets in, DA, looking ahead at the Browns schedule, could they potentially start the season 0-7? This is a team with tough road games and then also two very good home opponents. I don't think they're going to start 0-7. I mean, it's in play because it's the Browns, but I don't think they're going to start 0-7. I do think, though, that the idea that they were somehow going to, you know, kind of calmly dispatch of opponents, live up to all of the expectations, get along harmoniously, not have any distractions or negativity, was delusional. Number one, it's the Browns, and it takes a lot to shake that. Number two, you've got a first-year head coach that's never done it before. That sounds like there's plenty of people that are around that organization that didn't think the Kitchens necessarily deserved it. Number three, you've got combative, volatile personalities like Baker, like Odell, and like Jarvis Landry. And number four, these guys have never done it before. Their best record together was a sub-500 one last year. The Browns are 0-1. They travel to MetLife Stadium on Monday night to take on a desperate Jets team that is also 0-1. After that, they host the defending NFC champion Los Angeles Rams. After that, they travel to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, who just hung 59 points in Miami. After that, they travel across country to San Francisco to take on a Niners team. After that, they come back across the country and they host a very good Seahawks team. After that, they travel to New England to take on the Patriots. After that, they travel to Denver to take on the Broncos. After that, they host the Bills. Then is finally when they get to the Steelers. They have two Steelers games in 3 weeks, home to the Steelers November 14th, and then at the Steelers December the 1st. There's no breathers until Thanksgiving. None. Maybe you consider home to the Bills a breather. Maybe you consider at Denver a breather, considering how bad Denver looked, but that's about it. And the Browns, who have never done it before, first-year head coach, all these new pieces are going to win the division. Right. Again, the next month of the Browns season, at the Jets, home to the Rams, at the Ravens in San Francisco, home of the Seahawks, home of the Patriots. That smells like a 2-6 start to me. I don't know about you. That smells like 2-5, 2-6. Let's get to your cut line, the story that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
National League MVP from last year, Christian Yelich, done for the season. Fouls a ball off of his kneecap, shatters his kneecap. And this is just the worst loss of all time for the Brewers. Well, not of all time. Probably the 82 World Series was the worst, but this is the worst loss they could take right now because they are right in the wild card race. They are just one game out of that second wild card spot behind the Cubs. And Christian Yelich is by far the heart and soul of that team and the best player that they have. Yelich has had another amazing season, hitting .329, 44 home runs, 97 RBIs, has led the majors in slugging percentage and OPS. He just has done everything, and he's only 27 years old, and he's a great guy, and he's a great teammate, and he's easily marketable, and he's just such a wonderful ambassador for baseball and such an exciting player to watch every day. And now Yelich is done for the season, and that is, it's just brutal. It's brutal for the Brewers. It's brutal for Yelich. It's brutal for that city, who have always longed for a winner baseball-wise, and they were close. They were close again. You know, I don't know. Maybe there is some magic left in the Brewers to actually surge past the Cubs and gain that final wild card slot. But the idea that this Brewers team can then win a championship if they get in, it's not going to happen. You had to have Christian Yelich to do it. And now, brutally, he is done for the season.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And I always hate to tell you I told you so, but I will routinely mention and remind you when I told you so. And what did I say about Team USA? Team USA this morning losing to France. France in the quarterfinals. Didn't even make it to the semifinals. Didn't even make it to the championship game. Gone to the quarterfinals. And I saw this train coming, and what did Bogish and Mraz do to me? Poo-pooed me to death. Poo, 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 coo, coo, choo, choo. All over. And I said, listen, be careful, be careful. And what ended up happening this morning?
Even the DH show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
France had an 11-0 run in this game. 11-0 in the fourth quarter against Team USA.
Poppycock.
Do they even care in France that they won this game today?
Oh, they care. This is a big deal in France.
I don't know. You think they're partying right now in pubs in France? I don't think so. Do they even have pubs or is it wineries?
No, it's
the biggest stage out there.
It's little cafes.
Cafes. You have a little coffee, a little beer, and they're enjoying that right now?
Absolutely.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
Was the game even on TV in France?
They're popping Cronenbergs right now.
It's Chartreux.
Well, you might not care, but I don't want to hear anybody, I don't want to hear any outcry over this because this was the most predictable, uncomfortable international loss ever. And you know what?
Uncomfortable loss ever internationally?
Next time, I think in 2020 for the Olympics, forget Colangelo, his roster build, forget Popovich. Let's get LeBron, and let's let LeBron pick his team. LeBron's friends with everybody. Pick your team. LeBron can be a player coach like Bill Russell.
Now, my goodness.
And then we'll take out everybody by like 70 points.
Yeah, and then people will probably still not care because the games are disgusting blowouts, but we'll care more because it's the Olympics. We see the opening and closing ceremonies. Did they have a ceremony for the FIBA champs?
Oh, they got a ceremony, baby.
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
They're getting ceremonies. Just you wait. Just you watch.
Does the winner get a parade in their local city?
Ladies and gentlemen, Riet Chartreux.
You mean in, like, their capital?
Well, yeah, but most of these European countries have only one major city. So will they have that, like, France, when they go to Paris, if they win the whole thing, are we going to go down the Louvre first and wave to everybody?
First of all, there's countries other than Europe in the FIBA World Championships.
Correct. I mean, yes, China has more than one city. Correct. But you know what I mean.
No!
Mraz!
No, I don't know what you mean.
Like, if England won, they're not going to go anywhere but London for the parade.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bogish also had to point out to Mraz that the Louvre is not a street or a neighborhood. It's a museum. Mraz obviously did not know that. By the way, a bunch of you guys have reminded me that former Dolphins punter, longtime punter, Reggie Roby wore a watch in the NFL when he played. And that's true. I forgot about that. So Odell Beckham has the Reggie Roby corollary here. Maybe he can use that against the NFL. Here's my thinking. The NFL instituted this rule probably after Reggie Roby and certainly not because of Odell Beckham. And Odell Beckham should stop acting like the victim here and should drop the watch and focus just on winning a football game. But of course, that's too much for Odell because it's always the world against Odell, and he needs his watch.
That's very good, Damon.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sam Rubinoff on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks as well to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com, and thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We will talk to you tomorrow, everyone. Be good and be good to one another. Keep everybody from the tragic events of 18 years ago in your thoughts today. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.